Are you ready?
Mississippi on this Friday, January 22nd. I'm David Johnson, along with Dave Bevan. Michael Court should be joining us a little later on during this podcast, as well as our very special guest, Chris Brooks, who is the publisher of Mississippi Gridiron Magazine. And Dave, I'll tell you this, nobody knows high school football in Mississippi like Chris Brooks. He is the authority. He is an expert. And we're going to talk to Chris this morning about Mississippi's 2017 class and look into the 2018 class as well. As Chris gets around on Friday nights in this state, he knows where the talent is, and we're going to talk about what the Magnolia State might produce over the next couple of years in terms of Power 5 talent. Meanwhile, things are hopping out on the recruiting trail. Late last night, things particularly got to popping with the announcement from Rashawn Gary that he will make his college announcement on the CBS Sports Network on National Signing Day. That's not really big news. You figured Rashawn Gary would have his announcement on national TV. Perhaps the surprising thing about that is he's doing it on CBS, on the CBS Sports Network, as opposed to on ESPN, where most of your top recruits choose to do their hat tricks, so to speak. Also making news late last night, Jonathan Kongbo, the junior college defensive tackle out of Arizona Western, well, he cuts his list to 4. And Ole Miss makes the cut. It's Tennessee, USC, Florida State, and Ole Miss for Jonathan Kongbo. And remember, Kongbo visited. He took his official visit to Ole Miss early in the process. If I'm remembering right, it was for the Texas A&M game. And the Rebels have kind of been with him ever since then. He committed to Tennessee, then opened things back up. A word of warning is junior college recruitment. Okay, so right now, today, Jonathan Kongbo has Tennessee, USC, Florida State, and Ole Miss in his final 4. That's subject to change over the next 12 days. We've gone through these JUCO recruitments before, and they tend to live in a universe of their own. So exciting news for Ole Miss that they're in the cut with Kongbo. Chris Kiffin was out to see Jonathan Kongbo earlier this week, and things seem to be popping on that defensive line front because Kiffin and crew were out to see Chris Daniels, the big defensive tackle out of Texas earlier this week. And a couple of days after Ole Miss leaves his house, he decommits from Oklahoma. So he's now high on the board there, on the hot list, so to speak, in terms of defensive linemen, expecting Ole Miss to take 2, probably 3, defensive lineman the rest of the way. I do still feel Jeffrey Simmons is a prime candidate to take one of those spots. I also feel good about Terrell Hall, the 4-star defensive end out of the Washington, D.C. area. So, Dave, there's no rest for the weary. The next couple of weeks, it's the pedal to the metal, so to speak. Things are hopping every hour on the hour.
It's starting to get that time. It's starting to get exciting times, David. And I was just following the rise last night. I mean, you were on all the way up into the midnight hours. And for our listeners, I mean, you got to expect that, you know, from here on out, because that information is just going to keep popping out there as we get closer to National Signing Day. You mentioned Chris Brooks. You mentioned Chris Brooks. I'm excited to have him on the show today, David. I follow him on Twitter. And like you said, our listeners, anyone who has followed Chris on Twitter, this guy has a lot of knowledge of prospects within the state of Mississippi. So I'm very excited to have him on the show.
Chris does so much for high school football within the borders of Mississippi. Not only does he publish the very fine Mississippi Gridiron magazine and run the Mississippi Gridiron website, but he is also heavily involved with the Mississippi High School Activities Association, helping those guys out, as well as the Mississippi Association of Coaches. He ran the media for the Mississippi-Alabama game this year and did an extremely good job for that. And it's just been it's going to be awesome to have him on and to gain some of his insight, particularly on some of these future stars in the state of Mississippi. And it's kind of, just to kind of put it into detail, Luke Logan, a walk-on kicker out of Presbyterian Christian School in Hattiesburg, committed to the Rebels last night. And it was Chris that was feeding me all of this information on how great of an athlete he is, what his 40 time was, all that. So Chris is a world of knowledge. We're looking forward to having him on very, very shortly. Now, today begins the official visit cycle for Ole Miss. Last weekend, no visitors on campus, not the case this weekend, and hopefully this weather will not deter any of them from making it here. My source is telling me right now everything is full go. Oxford not hit hard overnight, but there is some more stuff moving into the area throughout the day today. Who are we expecting on campus this weekend? We are expecting Nashville, Illinois offensive tackle Royce Newman. We are expecting Florida wide receiver Trey Nixon. We are expecting Texas wide receiver Courtney Davis. And then three Ole Miss commits expected to take their officials this weekend, those being offensive lineman Chandler Tuitt out of Sandy Creek High School in Georgia, athlete Justin Connor out of North Panola High School here in Mississippi, and a linebacker Tarikas Tisdale out of Lexington High School in Tennessee. So those are the guys we're expecting in. Now, Trey Nixon, not scheduled to get to Oxford, never was scheduled to get to Oxford until Saturday. His flight arrived on Saturday, so would expect Nixon to remain in Oxford until Monday. These official visits can last up to 48 hours. Not sure, he may be going back early Sunday night. I haven't got confirmation on that, but he can be here for 48 hours. So that's what we're looking at.
And, David, Michael just joined in on the show. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Hey, David. How are y'all?
All right. And Michael, a little late, I know for a fact, because he was probably out in his front yard building a snowman this morning.
Absolutely.
You know, the guy's been living in Key West now for quite some time. He moves back to God Country, and he gets snow, just like on demand. You know, he moves back and it snows in Oxford. But like I said, not a lot of stuff on the ground this morning, at least where I'm at. Now, I'm about 6 miles south of Oxford. I've seen some photos. Looks like Oxford got a little bit more snow than what I got at my location overnight. But looking at the weather service, they're still predicting 2 to 4 inches of ice and snow throughout the day today. But as of right now, none of that hindering any official visit plans, and we'll let you know if, in fact, it does. As far as the early enrollees go, I can tell you a little bit about that. They spent all day yesterday going through orientation with the general student population. They kind of convened at the Manning Center, the 8 early enrollees yesterday morning, and then off they went to orientation to start learning about college life. Some orientation sessions were set for this morning as well, but they were canceled when the university closed. And so the 8 early enrollees, I think their next official duty as Ole Miss Rebels will be this afternoon at the Manning Center when they report for physicals and things of that nature. First team meeting set for Sunday evening. That's the first team meeting, so the first time the 8 early enrollees will be integrated into the full team Sunday evening inside the Manning Center. So that's kind of setting the tables. What's going to happen today? Hey, we don't know. It's going to be eventful, though, I guarantee you. Ole Miss coach is still on the road. Now, they'll be coming in today getting ready for this weekend's official visit. So there won't be a lot of or any Ole Miss coaches out on the road, as I understand it, for the weekend. And they'll head back out Sunday night, Monday morning, as everything is kind of wrapping up with the official visitors, and they'll stay out until Thursday. Then they'll come back on Friday to get ready for the big official visit weekend, And then it's Monday where a dead period starts prior to signing day. So you're basically talking about from this point on, only 4 more days Ole Miss coaches will be out on the road doing in-home visits. So, folks, it is here. And we're 10 minutes into this thing. Dave, has Chris joined us yet?
Not yet. Still waiting on his line.
Shouldn't be very long, and Chris Brooks will be with us here this morning as well. Michael, big basketball game in Starkville this weekend. Your thoughts on that, just quick thoughts on Ole Miss having to go into the hump. And Ole Miss is struggling, and Ole Miss is hobbled right now.
Yeah, it's really going to be an interesting game because Andy Kendi yesterday says the team could be without their best interior player, their best player overall, and their most experienced player. And Kendi called Saiz and Newby his most physical players. And Mississippi State is a very senior-driven team. Obviously, Malik Newman draws a lot of attention, but they have guys like Ware and Soren who certainly are going to be tall for Ole Miss to deal with. And it's always hard for Ole Miss to win down in Starkville. And if Newby's going to decide for himself if he's playing or not tomorrow, and Newby he's still day-to-day seeing how his eye's looking. And so it'll be really interesting to see in the morning how those guys are doing, because that will affect the game tenfold, whether or not a guy like Stephon Moody's playing or not.
And rivalry aside, it really is a big basketball game for Ole Miss, because right now the Rebels are kind of in danger of burying themselves in the SEC standings early on after hitting the skid. And, you just don't want to be in a situation where you're having to claw back from this swoon that they've gone into. And, again, you know, a week ago, a week and a half ago, we all kind of felt like this was your typical Andy Kennedy team where, they were probably going to enter the SEC tournament battling for a spot in the NCAA. I don't know that I exactly feel that way right now, Michael. I think it may be a tall task at this point, considering the injury situation and the losses that are piling up, to think that this team might somehow find a way to claw itself into the big dance. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's certainly going to be tougher down the stretch. And losing a guy like Sebastian Saiz has been very difficult for the team to deal with thus far, and it looks like he's going to be out for a few more games. But the plus side for Ole Miss is they got through the toughest part of their schedule with Kentucky, Florida, LSU. They had definitely their toughest games at the front end. Also, a lot of games compacted in, and so now it's a much more manageable schedule going forward. So they'll need to have a high volume of wins out of all the opportunities left on their schedule. There aren't many opportunities for quality wins, but if they can at least start amassing conference wins and go into the SEC tournament with some momentum, there's a chance if they make a run in Nashville. But the team really has to get hot and things are certainly not turning the right way as far as 3 straight losses and the injuries are concerned.
All right, would y'all like to switch gears? I know we're switching gears quickly from basketball back to football. Chris Brooks is called in, David. We're welcoming him to the show now.
Yeah, Chris, we certainly appreciate your time this morning, and we have tooted your horn immensely and rightfully so about being the authority on high school football in the state of Mississippi. And you do a wonderful job. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your efforts in that and what all you have done for Mississippi high school football and will continue to do. And we're honored to have you on with us this morning. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, Dave, I really appreciate it. And, I follow the message board. I'm happy to see the growth you guys have had. You and I have talked about this off the air several times about what you guys are doing at 24/7 Sports and the technology stuff. And then with your coverage, I enjoy reading the board, but And I appreciate your comments about, you know, covering high school football. Look, I have a great respect for you guys. I don't like to report a whole lot because I don't enjoy getting killed publicly. And when you guys throw yourselves out there, I mean, you're kind of at the mercy of social media. And I like to know what's going on. I don't like to throw stuff out there as much as you do and Courtney Cronin and you know, the media that are involved in that. But I certainly enjoy following all this, knowing what's going on, and can't wait till signing day.
Chris, I tell you, I used to get upset when I would see something on social media about something that I had reported or you know, and then I think you build a certain immunity to it. And nowadays, I just try not to look at it. I live on social media, but I can turn a blind eye to the stuff that I don't want to see. But we appreciate your kind words. We're having a great time at 247 Sports, growing by leaps and bounds. Of course, it was sold. Shannon Terry, our owner, sold 247 Sports to CBS Sports back in December, and there are a lot of big time things coming the way for our subscribers, and we're excited about that. But let's jump into the frying pan, Chris. And you've got a very good knowledge about where these players are in the state of Mississippi and where maybe some hidden gems are. There's been a lot of talk about this 2016 recruiting class in Mississippi and the depth that it had. I mean, there were a lot of Power 5 players in this 2016 class. Not hearing the same thing in regards to the 2017 class, that maybe it is top-heavy with some great players, but maybe it's not as deep. And I'd like to hear your opinion on that as far as the 17 class for Mississippi.
Well, you're exactly right. And there's not much of an argument against that at this point. You know, one thing I've learned with this stuff, Dave, I mean, it can change. You know, this time last year, you know, I thought that this year's class would be the best we've had in Mississippi in a long, long time. And it's played out that way, you know, through summer camps, through the season, through the Mississippi-Alabama game, through these all-star games. So, you know, what we thought then, it's proved to be exactly right. It can change for next year if there's a lot of players out there that maybe are under the radar that I just don't know about or coaches haven't told me about. But there's no doubt today there'll be a big drop-off from this year to next year. There'll still be some talent, especially at the top of it. There's some cream-of-the-crop guys, but I just don't see – you look at the top 10, it's not going to come close to what we have this year.
One thing that has helped Mississippi's 2017 class that occurred over the Christmas holidays was the transfer of defensive end, and he's listed as a defensive end. I think he's more of an outside linebacker, Cordarius Bailey. Transfers into Clarksdale High School from Lincoln High School in Lincoln, Nebraska. And Bailey now the number 7 ranked player in Mississippi's 2017 class. So that helped a little bit right there. He has a couple of Power 5 offers. Iowa State offered him. Louisville offered him. I'm sure the Southern schools are going to get on him. Ole Miss was by to see him last week. That's kind of I think the general consensus, as you spelled it out, is that, you know, at the top end of this class, there is some outstanding talent. And there may be a running back sitting at the top of this class, the best running back to come out of Mississippi in a long, 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 long time. And Mississippi hasn't really produced running backs over the last several cycles of the caliber, and I'm speaking of Cam Akers out of Clinton High School. But you start getting down there towards the bottom of this class, and I mean, you know, out of the first maybe 5, 6, 7 guys in this class, maybe 8 guys, and then it kind of you kind of see a talent deficit there just a little bit. But I want to ask you, I know you're down in the Clinton area. I want to ask you about Cam Akers, and I know you've seen him play a number of times. Your opinion on Cam Akers and how big of a talent he is. He's the highest-rated player in this class per the 247 Sports Composite, a high 4-star, currently committed to Alabama. Chris, what can you tell us about Cam?
Well, I've seen him probably, you know, 4 or 5 times the last couple of years. And I do know the coaches over there real well. And I have a good look at, you know, how his recruitment is going to go. look, all you need to know about Cam is earlier this week, he hosts Urban Meyer at school, comes by to visit him, and then right after Urban's there, I think he spent about an hour and a half from what I'm told, and then Nick Saban came into school, spent about 45 minutes there visiting with Cam. So that's the last two national championship coaches. And when both of those guys come to see you, you know that you're a big deal. But Cam, you're exactly right. He's the first big-time running back we've had in quite some time. And even though he played the quarterback, he throws the football a lot better than people give him credit, not at an SEC level, but he could play quarterback at a lower college level. I mean, he has a good enough arm for that. But I know that Ohio State and Alabama have been up front. They're telling him they're recruiting him as a running back. He's a real physical kid, about 210 pounds. You would think, I get the question a lot doing these interviews, you know, he plays quarterback there. How's he going to translate as a running back? Look, he's an incredibly physical kid. Maybe the best compliment I can give him, I saw him play South Panola early last year. I want to say it was the season opener. And that's as physical a game as you're going to get in Mississippi. And he was probably the most physical kid on the field. And you see all these South Panola kids tweeting at him after the game, a lot of respect. He's a big-time talent. I know that he'll have the choice of pretty much wherever he wants to go. I do think he's a kid that would like to stay in state, even though he's committed to Alabama right now. I think there's a strong chance that he does stay in Mississippi, even though he's going to be a kid that probably goes down to the wire.
Chris, would I be wrong to have the mindset that Ole Miss is probably sitting in a better position for Cam Akers than what most give them credit for at this point of his recruitment?
Yeah, and you know how this works, Dave. And you don't always see what's happening in recruiting that's under the radar, because they've been working hard on Cam for a long time. And you know this staff better than just about anybody. Now, they have a plan a couple years in advance. And they've done their homework with Cam. They've done a great job already recruiting him before he even hits his four-year recruiting cycle. And I would say right now that that's the leader. I know that he's had really good conversations with them. It's certainly not a done deal. I mean, we're so far away from signing day. And I'm not even sure he will commit, even though I think there's a chance he's going to flip not long after signing day. I could see that happening. But even if he does, it's not going to matter. If he commits to Alabama like he is right now, if he commits to Ole Miss in the near future, Ohio State and Alabama are going to be all over him up till signing day. There'll probably be some drama there, but I would want to be Ole Miss today.
I'll tell you a guy I like in the 17 class, and I've seen him up close and personal. He attended the Southern Elite Combine last summer, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this guy, and that's Willie Gay, the outside linebacker from Starkville. You know, to me, just watching him go through drills, go through a combine scenario, he just moves so well. He's so long. He's longer than his 6'2" height would suggest. And your thoughts on Willie Gay?
Well, we did both see him at that combine, and we talked about him, you know, that day. He's one of these kids, and I tell people this, these SEC kids should not be hard to pick out. And he's a kid that shows up at a combine and just with a shirt on, you can see the physique this kid has. I mean, he stands out. And then when you line him up for a 40, and I can't remember what he ran that day, but I remember it was fast. At about 210, I want to say, somewhere in that neighborhood. Look, he's probably – for sure one of the top five kids in Mississippi, in my opinion, for next year. I would say he could go as high as maybe 3-4 in Mississippi behind only Cam, maybe the wide receiver from Morton, who is incredibly fast. Linebacker out of Grenada, C.J. Avery is going to be a big-time talent. Kylan Hill's right there for Columbus. And then you have Willie there from Starkville. Right now, those are the five guys.
And I would agree with that. I really would. I haven't been able to see Cordarius Bailey in person yet. I'm excited about seeing him. And, again, he's the new kid who just transferred in from Nebraska to Clarksdale High School. I did talk to Henry Johnson about him last week, and I know Coach Johnson is super excited about being able to bring Bailey in. He has a connection with J.T. Gray down at Mississippi State. Trubisky and JT are not brothers, as it had been reported on numerous websites that they were actually brothers. There's no relation there whatsoever. Bailey is originally from Clarksdale, and they kind of grew up together and things of that nature. And Ole Miss is interested. They're sniffing around. They went over there, I want to say the Friday after the dead period ended. So on January 15th, they got right over there to get in his face. So there's something there. We'll see what develops with it. Chris, I want to ask you this, too, and you were an integral part of this, handling the media and everything, but Mississippi's win over Alabama in the Mississippi-Alabama game this year, for the first time since 2007 or 2008, somewhere right in that area, first time in a long time Mississippi had won. And in this 2016 class you mentioned, it was what we all thought it was going to be. It was a very, very good class. But how significant is that to Mississippi high school football, particularly, and I know you're close and you work closely with the Mississippi Association of Coaches, what did it mean to the coaches in this state? Because after that game, I'm looking around and I see coaches from all over the state and they're beaming. Not the coaches who coached in the game, but Eric Robertson from Lafayette, Johnny Hill from Oxford, coaches all over the state of Mississippi, excited to see the state of Mississippi knock Alabama off in that game. What does it mean to these high school coaches to be able to beat Alabama in that game?
Oh, it's a huge deal. And you're right, Johnny Mills is a really close friend. He's a family friend of mine for a long time, the executive director of the Coaches Association. So I've gotten to see their selection process, how they approach this game behind the scenes. And even though they've caught a lot of heat recently because we keep losing this game. So then when you're losing and you're struggling, you're going to come under a lot of heat, obviously. But I know those coaches have desperately tried to put together rosters to win this game. And I can tell you, Dave, from being on the sidelines the last 7 years for that game, more times than not, even before kickoff, you know there's not much of a chance. Because you can see Alabama going through their walkthroughs, and you can see our kids, and you've seen them in practice. And we've had years when it wasn't close. It's been getting closer the last few years. And the games I thought we should have won last year, and we've kind of, it was just tough luck. We didn't win it. The last 2 years we could have won it.
Right.
And these coaches have talked about this year for a long time. And Johnny's been able to get that game into Mississippi. That was a big part of this. So we knew we had a great shot. And you're right. When we kicked off the game this year, there were more coaches on the sidelines than media. I mean, a lot more. It was hard to find a spot to take pictures. And I do a lot of photography. You had all these coaches on the sideline. I've talked to a lot of them. They were anticipating the game. And then it was good for me to see what I thought, and that's that the talent really wasn't even close this year. I mean, you're there and you got to experience the game not just as media but as a parent with Eli play. And you know that, Dave, we could have won that game by 3 touchdowns pretty easy. Go ahead.
Well, I was just wanting to point out, and Mississippi won that game with the quarterback, Keon Howard, who's a very fine quarterback. But without the quarterback that they intended on playing with, as Jack Abraham's injured in the state championship game and unable to play. And just my assessment of watching that game, had Abraham as capable of a passer as he is, with DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown and Octavius Cooley out there at targets, Mississippi really couldn't run the offense that they went through the whole offseason planning to run, the attack that they wanted to throw at Alabama. And yet they still win, and I thought that spoke volumes for the talent this Mississippi team had this year.
Right, and Keon has a ton of talent, and he has all the big time tools, the huge arm size and athleticism. He's not as polished, and he's not as accurate. And those coaches did have a plan for Jack to come in. They were going to play both, but it wasn't hard to find a coach on the sideline after the game to say, Chris, if Jack plays this game, we beat them 3 or 4 touchdowns. Okay, and I would agree with that. We threw 4 interceptions, I think, in the game. But, for me to come away from the game, the win is really big for Mississippi because it kind of gives us a boost, something that coaches can feel good about. But for this particular recruiting class, Dave, You know, I don't think the recruiting rankings, even though everybody does a really good job at this, and I have such respect for people that rank these kids because you know better than anybody. It's so hard because they're so close in talent level. It's hard to say one kid is the number seven anything and somebody's the number eight. And when there's no difference. But even as highly ranked as these kids have been this year, I still think they're probably too low just because it's hard for a state that maybe doesn't produce as much talent as Florida and California and Texas. It's hard to all of a sudden have four or five five-star kids in a year. And even though Jeffrey Simmons is a five-star and Benito is, finally Benito's gotten there. I mean, talking about a kid that's been so under the radar because he doesn't talk a whole lot. He finally is now in that category. There's two or three other kids I think would have shots at that in a typical year when they're not overshadowed. And A.J. Brown, I think, would normally have a shot. DK, I think that kid should have a shot, even though he's kind of been pushed down some because of the Army week. But that's a different subject. That kid is a fantastic player. Even somebody like Octavius Cooley, who will show up to Ole Miss ready to play football probably from day one from a physical standpoint. We were very blessed this year to have so much talent in Mississippi, and I've enjoyed covering it.
Been a heck of a year, that is for sure. It's going to be a heck of a next 12 days too, Chris. You know, there are a lot of uncommitted prospects inside the state of Mississippi. Some of these top guys that Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Alabama, they're still battling for. And I'm interested, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I would like your opinion on how you think some of these are going to break. And I'll start with Jeffrey Simmons. Your thoughts on Jeffrey? He's a newly minted five-star and certainly deserving of it. He's right now, it looks as if he's down to Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Alabama. With Tennessee kind of lingering out there, he's mentioned something about maybe going back up to Tennessee. I don't know if that trip is going to happen or not. And you know, the Southern Miss fans, well, they're holding on to that slim glimmer of hope, and it's probably not even a reality, that he would follow his older brother, Dylan Bradley, down to Hattiesburg. But your thoughts on Jeffrey, just 12 days away from when he has to have a decision made.
Yeah, well, and I don't mind giving an opinion, especially with these radio interviews, Dave. You know, we talked about being killed on social media because it's hard to make everybody happy. I've learned to try and be honest and just say what I'm hearing, and from talking to people around Ole Miss and then some support people at state, but more than that, you know, people around these high school kids and their coaches, which is where my best connections lie. There's no doubt Ole Miss leads. And I would say that they lead substantially for Jeff, and they have for a while. He's been really good about his recruitment. I'm going to use him as an example to kids that come up for the next few classes because I'll get a chance to talk to a lot of them. He's very low-key, he's low-maintenance, and he's decided to basically not say anything to media, not of substance. You know, I'm not leaning here, I'm not leaning there. He's been very mature about this. But at the same time, behind the scenes, there's still some chatter. And you know that. He's a kid I would say I think will end up at Ole Miss. I know that they're still nervous about his Alabama trip. More than anything, it's the Alabama trip that's coming up. Even though State has done a really good job recruiting that kid, and he's near startable. I don't want to say that they're out of it, and I wouldn't say that. But after this Alabama trip, unless he goes there and has his socks knocked off of it, you know, I think that kid is no doubt a heavy lean to Ole Miss.
A.J. Brown is one that Ole Miss fans would love to pull the February surprise, so to speak. I've been kind of vocal about my opinion on that. I do not think A.J. Brown comes to Ole Miss. There are some who think otherwise, though, but I just have a sneaky feeling that come signing day, Mississippi State is going to pull the coup d'etat, so to speak, and keep A.J. Brown in Starkville. Your thoughts on A.J. Brown moving forward?
I've had the same opinion. I mean, this is a Starkville kid, and you assume just for that reason alone he's going to go to Mississippi State. And it's really hard to get away from that common sense approach to this. But, you know, A.J. has said from the beginning, and maybe not directly from A.J., but things he says to people around him, he'd like to leave town. Nothing against Mississippi State, but just one of those kids that would like to get out. get away from home, do his own thing. And look, Dave, as we've gotten closer to the end, I think that's gotten stronger. I don't think that's gotten less at end, by any means. And Ole Miss has recruited him hard. Alabama has recruited him hard. If you're going to take Alabama and Ole Miss and State and throw all three together, I don't know if I would give anybody a lead right now. I think all three have a great shot. I think State being the hometown school, I mean, there's still going to be pressure there, but he's not the type kid that I think pressure really works on. If anything, I think pressure hurts because it's going to make him go the other way. I mean, this is a tough kid. He's a strong, mature, strong-willed kind of a kid. Now, I know that Ole Miss is working hard on him, and, you know, there's certainly an element of, from Ole Miss's standpoint in this rivalry, if they can get a kid from Starkville to go to Ole Miss, that's kind of a feather in their cap, and Mississippi State's been the same way recruiting kids around Ole Miss. I still think Alabama is going to be hard to beat just because he had a great trip, everything that they're selling over there. Out of the top 10 kids in Mississippi, AJ is the kid I could see leaving, but I don't think it's done. I mean, I could still see the shot, him pull for Ole Miss, but at this point, all three of those schools, I think, have about an equal footing.
For the record, I think A.J. Brown and Kobe Jones, the other standout at Starkville High School, I think they're both going to be at Mississippi State on signing day. Now, but what kind of ramifications, repercussions, if you will be out there, And particularly in that world of social media where everybody can be a critic behind the mask of anonymity.
Sure.
For Mississippi State, if they were not to get Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, and Kobe Jones, all three top-notch players in their own backyard, what would the atomic explosion be, Chris, if those three went elsewhere? Because Ole Miss was in Kobe Jones' house last night. And, you know, and here we go again, social media. But Kobe seemed to really, really enjoy their home visit last night. And Ole Miss showed up in numbers. I think every assistant coach on the staff was there, with the exception of Corey Batoon, Dan Werner, and Matt Luke. Everyone else was in that house last night with Kobe Jones, and he certainly tweeted it out. What would the fallout be if those three all went elsewhere? Not necessarily to Ole Miss, but elsewhere.
Well, you know how ugly the rivalry can get on social media. And going into this year, you always talk about tie-ins and, you know, how schools are positioned for a particular recruiting class. And considering the season State had last year, I mean, not talking about this last season, but the 2014 when they were number one for so long in the country. I mean, they had A.J. Brown and Kobe Jones, I mean, in their backyard. And basically Jeffrey Simmons, same thing. Scott Lashley, another kid. These are close kids right there. They should – you would think they would have the inside track. But for Kobe and A.J. in particular, if those two kids get out of Starkville, there will not be happy MSU fans. And I'm careful even how I approach that, the stuff I put out on Twitter, because, you know, it can get ugly. But I'll just say this. You know, A.J. is kind of a wild card because, you know, I don't think anybody really knows where he's going to go. I think on different occasions, you know, Alabama's felt good, State's felt good, and look, Ole Miss has felt good. I don't think they feel great right now in the sense that they think they have him, because they don't by any means. I think they believe they're in it, which that says a lot. A week and a half from signing day, they think they're in it on basically a kid that's as talented wide receiver as anybody in the country from Starkville. Kobe, I think, I don't even want to say the word open. I don't think open really reflects where he is right now. I would almost say Ole Miss lean, okay? Let's say if I'm going to put a percentage on this, I might say 55-45 Ole Miss today.
Wow.
And that's based off of, if you know Kobe at all, the people around him, you know, he's kind of under AJ's shadow. All these kids want to be recruited. And I do think there's an element of going into this recruiting cycle, Ole Miss had those kids pegged as kids that they could get out of Starkville, and it's more than just any recruit. If you pull a kid out of Starkville, you're sending a message. And I think they've approached it like that, and you're exactly right. What they did last night on their recruiting visit with Kobe, I mean, they sent everybody. And I can tell you behind the scenes, what they did publicly last night with that many coaches, that's the same effort they've had behind the scenes recruiting this kid. I mean, they have been all out recruiting Kobe. And as much as Rashawn Gary gets a ton of attention, the number one player in the country, and even Jeffrey Simmons and Knoxby, they have been all in recruiting Kobe Jones. And I think State, I think there's an element there that, you know, it's a hometown kid, it's easy to take him for granted. He has great relationships with that staff. He really does, at Mississippi State. But Ole Miss has been all in on that kid, and they've given him something to think about. At the end of the day, I am with you, though, Dave. When you get closer to signing day, Starkville is home. You know, you have all these relationships. It's so hard to overcome that. I still think it's going to be hard for Ole Miss to beat that. But if it was today, you know, Ole Miss has done as good a job recruiting that kid as anybody.
Chris, I can't remember, not even the 2013 signing day, from an Ole Miss perspective where so much drama is actually going to play out on National Signing Day. I mean, you're going to wake up the morning of February the 3rd if you're an Ole Miss fan, not knowing. And a lot of things might break your way that day, and a lot of things might not. And there's so many different tiers to this recruiting process. I mean, you know, let's be honest, they have a plan A, they have a plan B. And if they don't hit on their plan A guys, you're going to hear some new names pop up, or maybe some guys who end up being members of this signing class that you didn't necessarily think would be. So the next 12 days are going to be awesome, but signing day, it's going to be nuclear in terms of from an Ole Miss perspective.
Well, considering how many kids we have undecided right now in Mississippi that aren't committed, I mean, that in itself is very rare, especially in a year when there's this much talent. So there's going to be people that are, you know, on the edge of their sheet, on the edge of their seats, trying to figure out, you know, where these kids are going to go. You know, I'm fortunate to know a lot of people around that Ole Miss program. And I tell you, there's one thing that I think people miss on how they're recruiting. And I do want to give Hugh Freeze credit. Last year, they did not finish great. You know, their last few days, it didn't go to plan. I can look at what they're doing right now, and I think they have made a concerted effort for that not to happen. Let me give you an example. You know, they have roughly 7 or 8 spots left. I think they feel really good about 4 kids basically in the boat. And for those last 3 or 4 spots, they're recruiting hard, probably another 9 or 10 kids. I mean, I think they're playing a numbers game. And you have to in recruiting. And these are 9 or 10 kids that aren't backup plan. These are big-time recruits. And, you know, the balancing act, how you recruit these kids and how it shakes out, because there's ultimately only 3 or 4 spots for those kids. But the fact that they're putting in that much effort on that many kids, I think that speaks more to the science of recruiting. And you know how this is every year. You can almost every year tell how many kids you're going to get out of a certain number of kids. But they're on probably 9 guys hard. I think they're going to pull 3 or 4 of them, and I just think they've done a really terrific job. The effort they've put in, and if you're on social media, their coaches have been everywhere on these in-home visits. I mean, all over the country. Last night, what they did with Kobe, they went to see Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, they've put in the legwork to have a national caliber class, and when it's over, that's what they'll have.
Well, and you mentioned learning from previous recruiting classes, and you go back to last year, and I remember on signing day, Hugh Freeze told the media, he told everybody, listen, we are going to put an emphasis, and this had a lot to do with Drew Richmond flipping on them at the last minute and going to Tennessee, the offensive lineman out of Memphis University
right.
School, but Hugh stood up and said, we're going to put an emphasis on kids who can get here in January. And what did he do? They have 8 high school early enrollees on campus right now. He went out and did what he said he was going to do. And he didn't – I mean, these aren't kids you just take to have early enrollees. Among them is the number one quarterback prospect in the land in Shea Patterson. So you're exactly right. I think they have refined the process down to a science, and it is certainly paying dividends for them this year. Dave, Michael, I am sorry I've hung the interview with Chris. Either one of you guys have any questions for him, feel free to – go ahead.
I do, David. And Chris, I do want to thank you for joining in on the show with us. And the first question I have for you is Nigel not. You know, his recruitment so far, just from the overall view of it, it's been a mystery. One minute, you know, it looks like Oregon, Alabama. He has the family ties with both in-state schools. What are your thoughts on Nigel Knott behind the scenes?
Well, I think all of these kids, you know, they go up and down. There's a certain element that they don't know what they want to do. And the only difference is some of these kids let it play out publicly a little more than others. And Nigel did that early. You know, he was going to commit or make a decision several times, and he kept pushing it back. And I think the last few months he kind of learned from some of that early. And, you know, these kids learn on the fly this process. They don't have any idea what they're doing. I think he's learned from that, and he's been a lot more quiet recently. I'll say this with him. You know, he's kind of a forgotten guy. I mean, he's as athletic as any kid in this class. I don't think he's ready to play just because he's not a big kid. If you meet him, he's probably, I would guess, he's low 170. But his athleticism is off the charts. He just needs a year to stay in a weight room and get a little bigger. I know he likes Alabama. You know, one time he was kind of infatuated, is the word I would probably use, for Oregon. I don't think that's the case anymore. You know, he likes State and he likes Ole Miss. But there's not anywhere you're going to find an interview in which he said one way or the other where he wants to go. I do think that he likes the Ole Miss staff a lot. I would not be surprised to see him there. That could turn into a numbers game just because Ole Miss is recruiting so many kids. But he might run into the same problem with Alabama, because as good as Nigel is, I mean, they're recruiting some heavy hitter kids at his position. I don't know where he stacks up on that list. You know, like a Shaheem Carter that I know Ole Miss is all over, but Alabama is. I don't know if he might nudge Nigel out for an Alabama offer, even though I don't want to say Nigel can commit today to Alabama, because I think if he could have, he would have. I could see a scenario in which, let's say Shaheem Carter's out there, Nigel's out there. I could see a case almost where maybe, you know, one school gets Shaheem, one gets Nigel, one of those kind of a deals. But he's not anywhere ready to commit, ready to for me to say where he's going to go. Again, if it was today, though, and I know this is kind of the standard answer, but it's just the stuff I'm hearing from coaches behind the scenes around that kid. You know, I think there's a lot of Ole Miss interest there. I really do.
And the other question I have for you is, you mentioned Jeffrey Simmons earlier. Just from a talent standpoint, what's your overall view of him? What does he bring to a defense of the school he chooses? And how ready is he for the next level of where he stands at now?
He's as ready to play today as anybody in Mississippi. And there might not be a kid in the country, maybe except a couple, more physically prepared for college football than Jeffrey. And the great thing about him, you know, there are some similarities with Jeff and Rashawn Gary, the kid from Michigan, and the fact that Jeffrey can play a lot of positions. I mean, he's 275 right now, and he has kind of a rare athleticism where he can play defensive end and he can rush a quarterback, but he has the size, the girth, and strength where you could – I mean, that kid could easily be a defensive tackle. So depending on other kids you bring in a recruiting class, you know, a kid like Jeffrey is invaluable, because if you come up short on ends, well, he can play end. If you come up short on tackles, well, you know, you can easily move him inside and be a tackle. But that kid is – I mean, every game I saw him play in high school, I probably saw Jeffrey play four times in person. I've never seen a game that he didn't dominate. And that goes back to even when he was a 10th grader and Dylan Bradley's playing on one side and Jeffrey, of course, Dylan, his brother, is now at Southern Miss having a fantastic career. And Jeffrey was the other end. I mean, he was a dominant player even then. I mean, whoever gets that kid physically, he'll be ready to play from day one. You know, maturity-wise, he'll still be a teenage kid that doesn't know much, just like all these kids and just like we were when we were that age. But it's not asking too much, or it's not expecting too much for that kid to play right out of the gate.
Now, Chris, I've got to disagree with you on something. Now, when I was that age, I did know everything.
Yeah.
A few decades later, I realized I didn't. But I did. I really thought I did know everything at that age. But
you know, Dave,
anyway.
And that's the thing I try and tell fans whenever they kind of rip these kids publicly. I'm like, look, just go back, imagine you're 18, okay, and you have Nick Saban and Dan Mullen and Hugh Freeze all telling you you're the greatest thing ever, and then you have a phone in your hand putting out what you're thinking. Okay, that's not a good mix.
No, not a good mix. And I don't know how I would have handled it. Of course, I wasn't a highly recruited football player, but even the whole social media thing, when I was 16, 17 years old, I'd have stepped all in it. And, you know, I'm glad we didn't have those temptations, so to speak, back in my immature days. So these guys, yeah, they do deserve a little bit of leeway, because it is a difficult process for them. And I'll say this too, these kids don't want to disappoint anyone. And when it gets to this time of the year, and you always wonder, well, you know, why do they dry up with the media this time of the year? Because most of them aren't talking at this point of the process. That's because they're still having conversations with these coaches. They probably know where they want to go to school, but they haven't crossed the bridge to disappoint a guy who's been recruiting them for 3 or 4 years, that has treated them wonderful, has become their friend, and it comes a time. You know, you may have 75 offers. You can't go but to one school. And I marvel at these kids who, and I guess for lack of a better phrase, go out and collect offers. All over the country. And they've got an offer sheet of 45, 50 schools. To me, you know, what they don't realize when they're doing all that, and not all of it's their fault. Some of them are so good, the schools are coming at them and just throwing the offers at them. But if you got 50 offers, you have 49 notes that you're going to have to deliver, that you're going to have to tell, and you're going to have to disappoint someone 49 different times, and there's only one that's going to be happy at the end, and that's a lot of pressure on these young men. And
it's almost impossible to say no to these celebrity coaches. I mean, because it's flattering what they're saying to you, and that's why these kids end up in so much trouble sometimes, flipping back and forth on social media. And then with kids like AJ Brown and Kobe, like I can say today, I think Kobe is just as likely to sign with Ole Miss and stay. But just following recruiting for 5 or 6 years really closely, and you doing it for a longer time, you just know how these things work. And the closer it gets to signing day, it's hard to tell your hometown no. And your Ole Miss feeling good about 10 kids, you just know how this works. You're not going to get all the kids you feel good about. It's incredibly stressful on these kids. I think they all open their recruiting cycle excited about the attention. And these big guys at the top, the big recruits, I think they all get to the end of this thing, and, you know, they're just gasping for air trying to get to the finish line. It wears them out. But I'm looking forward to signing. This should be a whole lot of fun, Dave.
Michael, we're running short on time. Anything for Chris from your side of the court?
Hey, I'm in contact with Michael right now. David, he had some technical issues with his phone. He should be trying to get back on here in a little bit.
Okay. Well, Chris, before we let you go, tell us what all is going on with Mississippi Gridiron. I know you made some changes back in the fall, which I loved every bit of them. I loved getting the weekly updates and the polls and all that stuff. What can you tell us you've got planned moving forward into this 2016 season?
Well, we started obviously with the magazine, the focal point of what we're doing, and providing Mississippi, you know, just a resource they can have that covers everything. And we're backwards. You know, most people cover college football down. Well, we start at high school football, and we move up to junior college football, then to colleges. And we'll have the magazine out. One thing I've tried to do different, you know, we've partnered with the Mississippi Association of Coaches on a few things. There'll be some new awards that we're working on. You know, we're trying to set up a system that's very similar to college football with positional awards, and something that can also kind of tell of, you know, Mississippi history with some of the players that have played before. You know, those are some of the things we're working on with coaches, some polls and things from the coaches that we'll continue to do during the season. And I'll tell you that we're also probably going to start covering baseball. That's a sport that I'm near and dear. You know, I had a chance to play in junior college, small college. And hopefully we're going to start putting some of that out there. But I'm already working on next year's magazine, Dave. I mean, we start in January. Hopefully this year we'll have this thing out in July and get past signing day first. And then, you know, everything will be pointed toward that 2016 season and 2017 recruiting class.
Well, it is something that we look forward to each and every year. And I appreciate you allowing me to be a part of it the last couple of years as well. And nothing but good things to say about that Mississippi Gridiron magazine. And I've got every copy you've ever produced, and it's put up in a safe spot, and I pull them out and relook at them from time to time. But just an absolute great resource for Mississippi high school football fans. And you do a great job of unbiased coverage of high school football in this state. And Chris, we can't thank you enough for that. And we can't thank you enough for your time this morning. I kept you longer than what I told you I would, and I apologize for that. But
you kept
giving us so much good information. We just couldn't let you go. But we do appreciate it. Have you guys got any snow down there in central Mississippi?
Yeah, we're getting a little bit. I mean, it's snowing, but it's not sticking. But from what I understand, it's nothing like you're getting right now.
Yeah, woke up this morning, the ground was white, and I think it's supposed to snow throughout the day today. So we'll see. Looks like all the official visits are still on go for Ole Miss this weekend. They're not bringing in that many kids, three commits and a couple of targets. So that all looks good. Well, Chris, we will let you go. We thank you so much for calling in the Rebel Rise Live, and hope to have you back on again soon, my friend.
Yeah, we'll do it, Dave. I might try and make an appearance on the message board between here and now, between now and signing day. But you guys have a great week.
Okay, Chris. Love to see you on the message boards. That'd be awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, Chris. All right, Mike.
The publisher of Mississippi Gridiron Magazine joining us this morning. And, again, I got to tell you, and you just heard him. I mean, he is the authority on high school football in the state of Mississippi. And I'm going to tell you, he does a lot of it out of the his love for the game. He is a jewel for the state of Mississippi. Dave, you were saying something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll tie into that. David, he had so much insight about the prospects around the state of Mississippi, and just excited about his publication next year, as he mentioned. Michael is back on with us. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I had a little bit of technical difficulties.
Well, Michael, I'm glad you're back with us, and I hate to say this, though, but we're bumping up against a live chat on the message board, so we're almost out of time. Before we go, Michael, if you could kind of reiterate some quick thoughts on the big basketball game in Starkville this weekend, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, what should Rebel fans hope for? Can they hope that Ole Miss can roll into the hump and pull a victory out, considering the injuries?
It's certainly possible. Anthony Perez has a lot of confidence going right now. He went 4 of 5 from three the other day and was really aggressive going towards the rim. And that's something that Andy Kenny said is a big thing that he needs to keep going moving forward, and that he needs to step up in the absence of a couple guys. Moody is a game-time decision, so if he plays, obviously the chances are tenfold better. But Mark Canvas played some good minutes the other night, played 41 minutes, which is outrageous for a big, but he's really developing on the front court. So there's a lot of positives to be taken away. A couple young freshmen, Fitzpatrick Dorsey and Terrence Davis, played well the other night, and they figure to see a lot of minutes. So it's definitely possible to go into the hump and get a win tomorrow.
All right. Well, all good things must come to an end. We're heading from Rebel Rise Live over to a live chat on the message board right now. We thank you all for giving us part of your day to listen to the Rebel Rise Live. For Dave Bevan, Michael Quirk, and our special guest today, Chris Brooks, I'm David Johnson. As always, hotty toddy.